Fab Sesmat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
It's a good Tuesday. Thanks for being with us. It is NFL free agent signing day. Ndamukong Suh's contract is fully guaranteed. All $60 million. Wow. Fully guaranteed. Peter King is going to be with us in about 15 minutes because for many of you, today is like Christmas Day. The NFL calendar starts anew. It doesn't matter if your team blew chunks last year. It's all over with. Now you're starting to look ahead and you're saying, oh my gosh, we are going to get this guy. We're going to get that guy. Peter King, all things around the NFL, as mentioned, coming up here at about 10:20. Around the Major League Baseball circuit with ESPN Baseball insider Pedro Gomez. Pedro Gomez joins us. Peter King joins us, playing the hits. That's what we do here at Sports 360 AZ. We're talking about the Diamondbacks making Josh Colemanter their opening day starter. What is going on out at Dodger and Giants, Padres and Rockies camps that has caught Pedro's eye? This will be very centric around the NL West. We are Arizona centric. And then we throw in a splash of national stuff as well here on Sports 360 AZ. Let's get you caught up. Some things on my mind in the world of sports, brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino, just outside of Pine Top. In the beautiful White Mountains, the Honda Resort and Casino. They just had a whole bunch of snow that fell last week at sunrise. It's spring break right now. Perfect time, guys, to get out of the valley or out of the state or wherever you're taking us in across the country. Think of the Honda Resort and Casino just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains as the place to stay, the place to get all your ski equipment at the ski shop. Head up to Sunrise, come back, eat some great food, have some fun, great entertainment. Stay at the Honda Resort and Casino and do it for 2-3 days. Enjoy yourself on this spring break. That's at the Honda Resort and Casino, which is just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. Honda Resort and Casino, a big part of Sports360AZ.com since day number one. So free agency today, I don't think the Cardinals are out of Brian Arakpo yet. This is on the agent front this morning, and this will all change as the day goes on. The Cardinals are being very active at linebacker. There is one overriding theme to what's going on with the Cardinals on defense, and that is, to me at least, Darrell Washington is not being counted on at all. If you're still talking to Brian Arakpo, and you've added Sean Weatherspoon, an inside linebacker, and Nate Irving they want to bring in for a visit, it's pretty evident, isn't it, guys, that you may say Darrell Washington is somebody you're relying on, counting on, but as you go through this free agent front, that's not the case. He may come back. I don't know. There hasn't been anything that said he's not. But E, as I'm going through today and all the moves they've made, am I reading this wrong? Or are you seeing it the same as me on this?
No, it's a good point. I never even really thought about that. I mean, one of the biggest question marks was what's going to happen with Darrell Washington. And by the actions, or at least preliminary actions of the Cardinals to this point, it appears that we may have seen the last of D-Wash. What a waste.
Well, it's a waste, and it's one of those that was totally surprising.
Yeah,
when
not a waste
happened
on the Cardinals' side, a waste on Washington.
No, he's the one that blew his career. And I don't blame the Cardinals or are all these insurance policies. Is it worth having that much insurance that you're tying up in players? I don't think it is. I mean, Brian Arakpo is not going to come here. Ian Rappaport just sent out a tweet about a minute ago I'm looking at. And today, Twitter is fabulous today. Twitter's great. You have to look at the people that are sending the tweets out and not just go off of Joe on the corner or somebody somewhere somehow.
There are quite a few Joes on the corner.
Oh, the Colin Kaepernick stuff yesterday was Joe on the corner.
I don't know where that came from.
It was Joe on the corner. Hey, I'm in the world's largest sports bar here on Twitter. Let me throw something out there, and some nitwit in our profession is just going to grab and run with it. Ian Rappaport, Adam Schefter, those guys aren't wrong. They're being fed by agents. It's as simple as that. Agents want to get taken care of. They're going to make sure certain media guys get the stuff. That's how it works in Twitter. So Ian Rappaport, about a minute ago, sent out on Twitter, Titans, Redskins, and Cardinals. AZ is the one to watch. They want an edge presence. This is from Ian Rappaport. Now, Brian Arakpo was a bit of a stiff last year in Washington with the Redskins. They didn't do a whole lot last year. So nice name. You think of the commercials. All that stuff doesn't mean anything to me. Please produce. And fortunately, with Steve Keim, I don't get any sense that they've got to go after flash in style, that they're just looking for guys that can flat out ball. Balling on a budget. That's what Jason Lockenfour told us, the great line on Steve Keim. I think the offensive side of the football, if you haven't heard by now, the reports are very strong that the Cardinals are going to sign today Mike Iupati of the San Francisco 49ers. They've agreed to terms with Iupati, who is a big upgrade at left guard. Pro Football Focus, who we started using Neil Hornsby in Pro Football Focus, I don't know, it was like a year and a half ago, I told Eric, we got to use these guys on the air. And they're overseas, they're in London, and yet they look at what's going on with the NFL. And we've used them before, and they're very good, I think. They do the grade outs. Iupati had the second best run blocking grade last year among all guards. Second best. He struggled in pass protection mightily, according to Pro Football Focus. Not very good in pass, very good on the run. Here is ESPN NFL insider Adam Schefter on Iupati coming to the Cardinals.
Former 49ers free agent guard Mike Iupati is telling people that he plans to sign with the Arizona Cardinals when free agency begins at 4 p.m. Eastern on Tuesday. The two sides still have to finalize an agreement, but Iupati clearly feels comfortable enough to move forward. That's a big loss for the 49ers, and now he'll go to the Cardinals, where, ironically enough, he'll get to go up against Darnell Dockett, the former Cardinals defensive lineman who signed with San Francisco.
Now, how much fun is that going to be? When the Cardinals play the 49ers, and the way things are going for the Cardinals, you can't help but love what's going on here in Arizona. I don't see them doing an Albert Haynesworth like the Washington Redskins. Remember when Albert Haynesworth came out and nutty Daniel Snyder with the Redskins threw tons of money his direction, and he was just an absolute unmitigated disaster, okay? You look at what the Cardinals are doing, and methodically, piece by piece, bit by bit, it may not be front page news to you today, and we'll see where things go with the Vikings and Adrian Peterson. I have Peter King, one of the best in the business, with me one-on-one in about 6 minutes. And we're going to go right down the list of who's winning, who should be renting rather than buying. You know, some of these GMs and coaches today are going to lose their jobs over decisions made today. It's just the way it is. Same thing with the NFL draft. NFL draft comes along, guy blows a first-round pick or blows two first-round picks, coach GM gone. And so today you go through each one of these moves that the Cardinals have made, and Iupati, you stick him over at left guard. Okay, I don't know what's going to happen with Jonathan Cooper. Jonathan Cooper, this is the year where it's either you're in or you're out, dude. I know you've been hurt. I know you've come back. I know that Arians grinded you into the ground. If Cooper's able to play on the offensive front with Iupati at guard, you talk about an upgrade for a team that couldn't run the football at all. I mean, they were awful last year with the run. And that leads us to, you know, what the linebackers, Arakpo, Weatherspoon, all that stuff. Nate Irving visiting, that's all fine, but I'm about bigger picture. So what is going to happen at running back? Is running back where we're going to sit and wait and see what happens with DeMarco Murray. DeMarco Murray, it's been a week since the Cowboys have talked to him. Jacksonville is negotiating with him yesterday. With all the carries that he had last season, do I want DeMarco Murray as a beat-up, banged-up back? Do I want Adrian Peterson at a price tag that I don't know what that would entail? How steep a price tag would it be to have Adrian Peterson come here to the Arizona Cardinals? And are there other options at running back? What I think is interesting is all this stuff has come out nationally. Nobody locally has had this stuff. I mean, everybody's been guessing and throwing darts, and then all of a sudden, Iupati, and I see on Twitter, wow, amazing, gee. Yeah, they've done a very good job of methodically and quietly going about their business, which is fine. It's not like there's somebody that's got it all figured out. There's nobody like that here. Shane Vereen and the Giants, see if that happens. So that's another running back that's off the board, if in fact he ends up there. So there's a lot of NFL going on, obviously, today. Briefly last night, so the Suns last night went about their business, and early against Steph Curry, they had a pretty good showing. That was early. Markieff Morris hit his first shot, and then he was just absolutely brutal again. And afterwards, he talked about, hey, we lost 30 points with the trades we made. That's 2 weeks ago. I don't want to hear about that. In the third quarter, Jeff Hornacek's team was just flat awful.
Well, we made that run there at the end of the second quarter because guys were cutting and moving, and then I don't know if they got tired or something, but then we stood around and again did the one-on-one stuff. So we just got to keep drilling like we always do, and maybe we need to start showing them tape of other teams. I don't ever want to do that, but maybe they should see some of that.
Stood around one-on-one. There you go. Jeff cannot fire the players. I don't think the players can get the coach fired here in Phoenix. Sometimes that happens. Players can't get coaches fired. But coaches can't walk in and say, you're not good. You suck. You're a nightmare. You're a train wreck. When I get somebody who says, well, we don't have those guys anymore, so it's tough, that's not a leader on the team. It's pretty funny to me how the Suns have gone in the last week to extremes of say Markieff Morris can be a leader for us. No, he can't. Have you not figured that out yet? Okay. The definition of stupidity is doing the same thing over and over and over and over. He's not gonna work out here in Phoenix. It's not happening. It's really not that hard. And so last night, Steph Curry, who came just a few hours away from being a member of the Phoenix Suns, decided to light them up late in the fourth quarter.
Weaves the paint, pass batted down by Brandon Wright, picked up by Curry, who turns and shoots it. Why not? Why not? He is absolutely sick.
Why not?
Curry does turn off a deflection, picked it up, fired it in. It's 84-67.
Why not?
That's Tim Roy. On the other side, Peter King, all things around the NFL and free agency. And we're going to get real direct on where the Cardinals are today as this moves along. Who's winning in free agency? Who should be concerned? Who's getting the buyer beware sign today? DeMarco Murray, Frank Gore to the Colts, and stuff around the Cardinals. All straight ahead with the MMQB and Sports Illustrated Insider, Peter King, on the other side. I'm Brad Sussmat.
For original, in-depth Arizona sports news you care about, follow us on Twitter at Sports360AZ.
So everything that the Cardinals are doing to this point makes perfect sense to me. What we don't know is what's going to happen on the running back front as today progresses. They are going to sign this afternoon at 1 o'clock. 1 o'clock is when free agency starts. Frank Gore today shifted direction. Man, if you went to Philly and you were buying on Philly stock after what happened the other day, you'd have to feel like Frank Gore going to Philly, Darnell Dockett going up to San Francisco, and then all the moves that happened yesterday, the Iupati signing by the Cardinals. You have to look at San Francisco and say, oh my gosh, they're heading downward in a hurry. And yet the Cardinal fans that I'm seeing on social media and they're sending me notes, all they want to talk about is running back, running back, running back. Guys, it's a process, okay? It's Adrian Peterson, DeMarco Murray. It's not happening this moment. It may not happen till the draft. Peter King joins us live for a couple of minutes. SI.com, senior NFL writer, MMQB, editor-in-chief. I could ask you something, and 2 minutes from now, it could all change, right? It's one of those days where everything is just very, very fluid.
Well, I mean, obviously, Brad, there is most of the news has already been made, but what we don't know now, and you just said it, and we can't know for a little while. I don't think we're going to know much about DeMarco Murray for a little while. DeMarco Murray really wants to stay in Dallas, but he is not inclined to give them a major hometown discount. And I think that if he feels he's being lowballed, then he will leave, not to spite Dallas, but he'll leave to basically say, for everything I did for you last year, you just didn't treat me right. So that's a potentially volatile situation. The Adrian Peterson situation is potentially volatile as well. So I think the running back situation, both in terms of what people are going to make and where they're going to go, is hugely up in the air. You look at a guy like Justin Forsett. That could happen fast, but if it happens fast, it's not going to happen in Baltimore because Baltimore has put a definite price on Forsett, and Ozzie Newsome has never been one of those guys. You know, you look back at the Anquan Boldin thing a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
He's never been one of those guys who gets intimidated by any agent or any player out there. He's going to stick to his price. So that's sort of a little bit of a survey look at the running back position right now.
Peter King with us, SI.com senior NFL writer, MMQB editor-in-chief here on the opening day of free agency. Who is winning in free agency? Do you have a couple franchises you just look at and say, Brad, slam dunk, they are winning?
You know, that's such an incendiary topic and such an incendiary question because I'm in the middle of doing some research for a story I'm going to do in the next few days about how, you know, free agency historically is a little bit of iron pyrite.
Yep.
You know, it's a little bit of fool's gold.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you look at the teams that really spend a lot in free agency and get the famous players, those are rarely the teams that 2 years later you look and you say they won free agency and then they won on the field. It just doesn't happen very often. But I think one team that has spent pretty wisely so far is Jacksonville. Mm. I really like Julius Thomas, and as far as quality young cornerbacks, Von House of Green Bay, I think is a very good signing for them. So I think that's good. I really like Mike Iupati for Arizona. I think it's a very smart signing. Those are a few of the guys I like. I don't think that Byron Maxwell is worth $10 million a year in any way to Philadelphia. And I think that Frank Gore still has a good deal left in the tank. And apparently he's going to end up in Indianapolis. And I think that's going to be a very, very Andrew Luck protective signing. I like that a lot.
You know, you mentioned incendiary, and I look at free agency as buyer beware. I mentioned Albert Haynesworth in the opening of today's show. And really, free agency is covering up for mistakes you made in the draft for the most part, I think. And, you know, you look at the Cardinals out here, the Iupati signing, but they're talking about Arakpo out here today as a potential. Corey Peters is probably going to sign out here today. These are areas that the Cardinals, I think Darrell Washington's situation is clearly why the Weatherspoon deal and why they're looking at Arakpo and others. Those two are joined by the hip. Back on Iupati, go ahead, Peter, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say that usually what happens when you end up spending a lot of money on a player, you can look at players, you know, at similar players for your team that either have aged out or didn't work out or were bad free agent signings or whatever. And when I look at the linebackers that Arizona is looking at, and when I look at Iupati, my first thought when I saw the Iupati signing is, I doubt sincerely if the Cooper pick had turned out well over the last 2 years, I doubt sincerely that they would have spent $1 jillion on Mike Iupati.
Mm-hmm.
That's number one. And number two, I bet that if Darrell Washington and Carlos Dansby were still on this team, they wouldn't be going to town on all these linebackers. And again, Dansby, that was a free agent signing. So, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. But clearly, I think the Darrell Washington reverberations have factored into what they've done in free agency and the fact that you know, look, I think Todd Bowles did a fantastic job mixing and matching his safeties. You know, Deion Buchanan, you know, playing a lot down in the box last year. All their safeties playing down at times down in the box. So clearly, I think that they did a really, really good job of scotch taping, you know, a good defense together. And now they're trying to say, okay, we did a good job scotch taping the defense together. This year, we want to have some real linebacking depth on this team, and so that's what they're doing right now.
What do you make out of the 49ers in this exodus? Everybody is saying this is the end and that it's all falling apart. What do you make out of this?
I'm sorry, the name was?
The 49ers. What do you make out of what's going on in San Francisco?
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, I guess I feel the way everybody else does, that they've taken some incredible broadsides. Patrick Willis announcing his retirement, you know, and like right about now. It's hard to remember a really good team, a team that won 44 games over the last 4 years, getting sort of ripped asunder the way this team is getting torn up right now. But again, I thought Greg Bedard made a really good point at the MMQB today, which is, in essence, you don't play football games on March 10th.
Right.
You know, they're going to have some time to do surgery on their team. And I can't tell you if that surgery is going to be effective. But when you don't play games for another 5 or 6 months, I'll give them an opportunity to fix what ails them. But they have lost some very important players.
A couple other questions with Peter King. I know it's a busy day for you, and I appreciate your time. The quarterback free agent market, there's fans out here that watch Brian Hoyer with the Cardinals. He ends up down in Houston. What do you make out of the quarterback movement and the dollars floating around?
Well, I mean, look, it was a bad free agent year for quarterbacks. It almost always is. And I think now, you know, I think the Philadelphia Eagles have done a smart thing, okay? I think if you ask Chip Kelly right now, you hook them up to, you know, to a lie detector, and you ask them, do you favor Nick Foles over Mark Sanchez? I think the answer probably, he'd have to say the answer would be no. If anything, they're about equal in his eyes.
Mm-hmm.
So by getting Mark Sanchez at a reasonable amount of money and then being able to sit there and have a bunch of teams with quarterback needs, let's say St. Louis, let's say Arizona, let's say the New York Jets, you know, that don't have a starting quarterback need necessarily, but have a need for a quarterback to come in and to be competitive because there's a good chance he's going to have to play at some point that year. I'd love to see what Nick Foles would bring in this market. I think he might even bring a low one. I doubt it. But, you know, I think now, by waiting, I think there's a good chance you're going to be able to get a two for Nick Foles, or at least a three that could become a two, depending on his performance this year.
You're suggesting, Peter, the Cardinals may be in the market for Nick Foles? Or just as an example, you're just suggesting that?
Well, no, I think this. That if you are talking about players at any position now,
okay,
and you're Bruce Arians and Steve Keim, I think the one thing that you need to look at when you're in their shoes, I mean, there's a bunch of positions that they could go get a player at, and you could argue that they'd really need it, like the quarterback position. How can you not argue that they should go out and replenish their quarterback depth chart?
No question.
I think they absolutely should be looking at improving their quarterback situation.
Yeah, I mean, and I've lobbied that if it's not in the draft this year, if next year's class is thinner, they've got to do something because Carson went down twice last year, and we saw what happened in the playoffs.
Yeah, as much as when Carson Palmer's healthy, any Sunday he can play like a top five quarterback. But you have to acknowledge the reality of the situation.
Yeah.
The reality is that he gets hurt a lot. And so you better be able to win and win big without Carson Palmer. And that's why if I'm them, I'm looking at Nick Foles.
Before I let you go, Revis, Jets, Patriots, other destination.
I think Revis is going to have a lot more suitors than people think. I think Oakland's going to be interested. I know the Browns are going to be interested. And I think the Chiefs are going to be interested, although I don't think the Chiefs are going to be able to afford him. In my opinion, I think he's going to end up with the Jets. Revis is a calculating person.
Hmm.
And he's calculating right now that I can make probably $4 million guaranteed dollars more a year with the Jets than I can with the Patriots. That's just my gut feeling. Might not end up being that much, but I think the Jets are really going to have to pay through the nose to get Revis, and I think they're willing to do it.
Last question then, and this circles back to the Cardinals. You like what they've done to this point? Would they be one of those teams if you did say they've done well, or is it wait and see still, waiting for the other shoe to drop with running back?
Yeah, I think that's the big mystery. I think my gut feeling is Adrian Peterson wants out of Minnesota. And if he wants out of Minnesota and the Cardinals play their cards right, I think Arizona is a place that, in my opinion, I have no inside information on this. It's just reading the tea leaves.
Yeah.
I think he would love to go to Arizona. If you want out of Dallas or if you want out of Minnesota and you don't know right now if you're going to be able to go to Dallas, which is a place where he absolutely is interested in going. I think the next best place for him, or one of the next best places for him, is going to be Arizona.
Yeah,
he knows he can win.
And I think
he knows Arians is a great offensive coach.
Yeah.
And he knows he'll be used well. So I think Arizona's a perfect spot for him. Now we'll see if the Vikings really are going to play hardball with him. In essence, we'll see if the Vikings are going to play hardball in trying to get compensation for him, because that is going to tell the tale. The Vikings are going to start by asking for a one. I don't know that anybody's going to give you a one for Adrian Peterson. Not to say he's not worth it, but after a year out of football at his age, with his contract, it's a lot to give.
Yeah, and I think Fitz's relationship's got to factor somewhere behind the scenes with Adrian Peterson, too. Just my own...
I think you're right, Brad.
Reading of tea leaves on this one, too. Appreciate your time, Peter, as always. Thank you.
Okay, hey, all the best.
You as well. Peter King for a couple of minutes. SI.com, senior NFL writer, MMQB editor-in-chief. We'll digest this, and on the other side, we'll go back over some of the things that Peter talked about. In about 10 minutes, we'll switch gears over to the Cactus League. Pedro Gomez, ESPN Baseball Insider, joins me. A lot there to digest from Peter King. You're not going to get a bigger name on Free Agent Day breaking it down than Peter King. Part of Sports360AZ.com. I'm Brad Sussmat. After today's show, I'm heading to Vegas. Pac-12 tournament. We'll be doing the show at the MGM Grand tomorrow, Thursday, and Friday. Of course, we'll continue to do all things around the NFL as well and college football. It's pro day with U of A.
You're going to take time away from the pool tomorrow, huh?
You know, the setup at Vegas doesn't suck. Let me just put it to you that way. It's a pretty simple explanation.
You volunteered for this trip, which is nice of you to do that.
I mean,
I can't imagine why you'd want to go to Vegas for 3 or 4 days to do a show by a pool and then take, 25 steps and go watch college basketball all day.
I could have gone to Indianapolis.
Smart. There's a reason why you're the CEO of this company, I guess.
What is it? 78 degrees in Vegas, and Indy it was -6?
-17 with the wind chill, but who's counting?
Yeah.
And
you were indoors the whole time.
I was, except when I went outside and I asked someone from Indianapolis, is it normal for your eyebrows to burn when you're outside? They said yes.
The only thing that's going to be burning is my skin with the sun hitting it in the pool tomorrow. No, I'm just kidding. I'm going to be indoors. What are you talking about? You make this sound like I'm going to lead this life of luxury, okay? I'm going to work watching college basketball from 12:30 until 10 o'clock tomorrow night is work.
Somebody's got to do
it. And the next day, watching college basketball from 12:30 to 10 and then going out to dinner is work. That's the way it is here.
Speaking of work, I know you're going to have Pedro Gomez on in about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
He's off to quote-unquote work. He's working the USC Pro Day tomorrow. That should be interesting.
So, get out of here.
Little,
what is his deal?
A little break from baseball. Yeah.
What is his deal?
I don't know.
I thought he was like, we have Pedro on during baseball season because he's a baseball analyst. Is he bailing out on baseball? What is that all about? I mean, come on. I want him to break down what's going on over at the Brewers camp.
He goes where the four-letter word tells him to go.
Yeah. It is a four-letter word.
It is.
It's
technically a word.
What'd you make out of Peter? What'd you take away from Peter today?
Whenever Peter King says, read in between the tea leaves,
yeah.
You get the sense that...
That's an agent.
You get the sense that he's had some birds on his shoulders whispering into his ears.
It's the thing about him is I've found, and we have him on every week during the NFL season, when he says, just as Eric put out there, reading between the tea leaves, or... He's not going to come on a show in Arizona and break news, nor should he. He has his website to do that. I get it. But he always delivers in a big, big way. I think Adrian Peterson's deal to Dallas, does Jerry Jones just go crazy on this one? Okay. Is this Herschel Walker-esque? That's what you have to wonder. And on the Cardinals end of things, if you're Steve Keim, and you're Bruce Arians, and I have to factor Michael Bidwell in on this. Michael loves having big names. Matt Leinart, perfect example. But have through the years, has he taken a step back? And I would say, yeah, it appears to me. I'm not in the meetings. You don't have to go mortgage the future on one guy. But, and when I talk to guys that follow the NFL or agents about the Cardinals, I've been pounding my fist. They've got to get a quarterback. Well, they have Carson Palmer. He was hurt twice last year. Doesn't mean I don't like him as a player when he's out there to perform, but you have to have somebody behind him. When Peter mentioned Nick Foles.
It makes sense. I mean, Nick Foles sort of fits that Bruce Arians, tall pocket passer, can throw the ball down the field, younger player, but still with some NFL experience.
And if you don't believe that Logan Thomas is your guy, okay, and if Stanton is just a backup and is Drew Stanton.
He is. I mean, that's what he is. That's what he is.
So let's, you know,
In fairness to him.
But would you be willing to part with picks and the amount of picks and mortgaging your future on a running back who hasn't been out on the field in a year? And my answer to that would be, yeah, because the window is wide open right now, but I think it's starting to close at your quarterback position. If you're going to tie money up, okay, and we haven't seen the financials of all these players yet. We don't even know if Arakpo is going to come here or not. Iupati's deal is a big number, okay? But in the world of cap, it seems to me that Steve Keim and the Cardinals have gotten their arms around cap. They're not one of these franchises that could be run into the ditch and out of luck for 5-10 years because they made so many mistakes. If Adrian Peterson's price tag is exorbitant, what really is exorbitant for 1 year, 2 years? In this day and age of NFL where you're looking at space, guys get cut all the time. Oh, I can't believe this guy got let go. I can't believe this guy got released. It's managing numbers. That's all it is. So if you're saying we've got to go forward in 2015, as long as we're not in cap jail, then yeah, I go for Adrian Peterson. I'm willing to part with a low 20 first round pick. Are you kidding me?
And if you're sitting around the conference table and you're Steve Keim and you're with your scouts and your coaches and you're thinking to yourself, okay, what made Adrian Peterson so great during his prime? It's he was unstoppable because he ran angry. And if there's going to be a player that's going to come back next year with a chip on their shoulder and wanting to silence
all
the critics.
This is not Ray Rice.
And all the doubters. Yeah. I know. Yeah. But, I mean, he hasn't played in a year. And you put him on a team that has the potential to reach the Super Bowl, you're going to get good production.
Don't you think today, as we sit here today, the Cardinals are better? If you look at what's left and what's here, are they a better team than they were at the end of last season?
Yes.
A team that went to the playoffs.
I put on Twitter yesterday, if you told me 3 weeks ago the Cardinals could essentially trade Darnell Dockett for Mike Iupati, make that deal in a heartbeat.
Done.
Make that deal in a heartbeat.
Your run offense was horrible last year. So you've already upgraded it at least up front. if they don't do anything here with Murray and Peterson, you know, the Andre Ellingtons, it's great to find somebody late in the draft. It's great to find Stephon. It's great to find these guys late in the draft. But at some point, you have to be able to turn around and hand the football off to somebody who's going to be a bulldozer for you. And if you can just turn around, hand the football off to a game breaker like Adrian Peterson. And I don't buy for a minute, by the way, I've gotten some of these notes and Paul and I talked about it yesterday. I don't buy for a minute that there's going to be this backlash in Arizona towards Adrian Peterson. What he did was abhorrent and what he did was wrong with his son. However, and I've heard this from women and moms, okay? Everybody parents differently, and people make mistakes parenting. And if he's willing to step forward and say, hey, I screwed up as a parent. This is what I knew. I overreacted. I was wrong. If all we did were take guys that didn't have issues throughout their lives, and some issues are more severe than others. I'm not explaining that away, okay? But if all we did is say, we're only going to take guys that do this, 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 and I read that and I hear that, then we're taking a lot of people that have made a mistake and just saying, we've got it all right, we're in a glass house and you're not. There are some guys I don't want any part of, okay? I got some people on my butt about Michael Beasley playing well down in Miami and saying, oh, you're on him about the Suns, and now, look, he's playing well. Don't want him with a 20-foot pole. He's everything that is wrong in sports, being given chance after chance after chance. This is the first chance for Adrian Peterson. And he seems to be, and he's talked very limited, seems to understand that he's got a lot of work to do. And I'm about winning football games. I don't want bad guys, but I'll take guys that have made mistakes in life. I don't know about you. I'll take guys that make mistakes in life, but I don't want bad dudes. Segment of the show brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. The Fusion Hybrid is what I'm driving now. I love the 2015 Fusion Hybrid. Picked it up last week. I still have, I think it's like over a quarter of a tank of gas left, and I've gone over 400 miles. You know, the hybrid, the way of driving, it changes you when you're in the Fusion. You don't see your gas gauge moving and you're paying $2.55 for a gallon of gas, guys. I mean, it's just dumb. You're just throwing money away. So why not get yourself into a vehicle? If you're like me, where I've got business meetings, I need a car that I can feel comfortable driving up and putting in valet. I feel very comfortable in the Fusion Hybrid. I feel very comfortable going out, taking my son down to swim practice, basketball practice, running around town, picking up somebody that's a business associate. I've done all that here in the last week. And the Fusion Hybrid makes a lot of sense for me from the people at Santan Ford. We're going to the Pac-12 tournament in Las Vegas because Tim Hovick, the general manager from day number one, said to me, whatever you do, wherever you go, I know what you're all about, Brad, and I believe in your vision at Sports 360 of being local, local, local. So I'm going to be with you. I don't know if that's enough for you. It's enough for me. I bought a vehicle there 6 months ago for my wife, an Explorer that she's very, very happy with. And I drive the Fusion Hybrid from Santan Ford, just off the Santan 202, and Val Vista Santan Ford, where it is all about you. Pedro Gomez on the other side. We're going to talk about Cactus League, things going on from one of the best in the business, ESPN Baseball Insider. Although Eric informs me he's a college football insider tomorrow. That's Pedro Gomez next. I'm Brad Sussmat. Tomorrow at the MGM Grand, Thursday, Friday as well, brought to you by Santan Ford, one of our proud partners, 3 years here at Sports360AZ.com. They say, go where the story is. We're going to the Pac-12 tournament. ASU plays tomorrow against USC at 2:30. We'll do the show, go inside, check them out, do content, plenty of stuff. And then U of A will play on Thursday in ASU as well, as long as they keep winning. Pedro Gomez joins us now for a couple of minutes, ESPN Baseball Insider. I also understand college football aficionado at USC tomorrow. You're turning into USC Pro Day tomorrow, right?
I am indeed.
What is that all about? I mean, come on. Don't you want? I want the latest from you on the Brewers and the Indians. Come on.
Hey, I get the call. I answer the phone.
Like you,
go to where the story is.
That's
so,
it.
You know, Leonard Williams, the defensive end, is probably going to go in the first 2 to 5 picks of the draft. So a big, big time player at SC, and that's probably the biggest reason that we're there, but a few other stories as well. But, you know, USC is, over the last 10, 12 years, is maybe had more first-round picks than anybody else. So there's certainly excitement football-wise on this story.
Let me switch back to baseball. When you go around spring training and you go to a camp of a team that you know has no shot, do they know they have no shot?
Not right now.
Yeah.
Because everybody has a shot right now in early March. And let's not forget that really what happened last season has opened up a lot of optimism for clubs. Because when you get a club like the Kansas City Royals that comes within 90 feet of tying game seven in the ninth inning, it really does kind of send a message to other clubs that, hey, look, the Royals, look what they did.
Mm-hmm.
There's no reason that that can't be us. Now, when you look at the Royals, maybe as a casual fan, you might say, wow, how did they do that? But when you really look at the baseball side, you see all those great arms in the bullpen.
Yep, the bullpen.
You see those young players, the defense. So there's a reason the Royals were able to get that far. But it does allow teams to dream, and that's really what every club does in March.
Okay, I don't know if you've been to every camp yet in the Cactus.
I've been to probably about 13 of the 15.
All right. So if I throw at you Justin Upton and Matt Kemp and what the Padres have done, what would your line or two be about the Padres here in spring?
I think that it's going to be interesting to see who catches the ball. Defensively, they are a club that is probably going to struggle on the defensive side.
Mm-hmm.
But you've got a guy like Justin Upton, who is a free agent in another 7 or 8 months. And those are the type of contracts and players that a lot of clubs view and say, boy, he's going to be motivated to go all out all year. So should the Padres be in it, let's say, in June or July, they might very well say, let's load up and get something else. And should they not, you remember about, oh God, I want to say 5 or 6 years ago, Oakland had Matt Holliday,
yeah,
who was in his free agency year after he was traded from Colorado to Oakland.
Very smart. Yep.
Yeah, and they figured, let's see what we've got, and if we're in it, great. And if we're not, we can go and trade him and get something. And that's what Oakland did. They weren't in it. So it's a very movable piece that could really garner you a nice flock of players. Or if you're in it, you could have basically the bargain of the entire season, because you're paying him just for this year and he's highly motivated to have a big year, and you could end up with an MVP type season.
Talking with Pedro Gomez. Okay, Dodgers, Andre Ethier. What happens there with the Dodgers and their excess of outfielders?
I can't see Andre Ethier being on the opening day roster of the Dodgers. I still think that some type of a trade is going to happen. Now, that's barring no injuries. The Dodgers, you know, I'm sure you've seen as well, are willing to pay for quite a bit of his salary.
Yep.
Another club is willing to take him. That's not the case right now. But as we know, injuries happen, and all of a sudden a need for a player comes up, and some club might say, hey, Ethier's out there. The Dodgers are willing to pay a good chunk of it. Let's go get him.
What do you make out of the defending World Series champs and their manager's health and Sandoval's comments? There's just a lot of things around Giant Camp.
There are, and you know, not all of them are on the positive side.
Yeah.
Bruce Bochy, though, I've talked to, and health-wise, he's fine. I don't think that's going to be an issue whatsoever. But in terms of scoring runs, I think that, you know, you lose a guy like Michael Morse, you lose a guy like Pablo Sandoval, and now you're not going to have Hunter Pence for maybe 2 months. Those are sometimes more difficult to overcome than anything else out there. You still don't know what Matt Cain is going to be able to provide a year out of surgery. You certainly, you know, Bumgarner is an elite level pitcher. I don't think you have any questions there. But, you know, Ryan Vogelsong is closing in on 40 years old. Mm. You've got Tim Lincecum, who's had a few years now of being down, not just one or two, but three. So don't know what he's going to be able to do. You know, some pretty big question marks with the Giants, some pretty big glaring question marks.
Okay, everybody overlooks Colorado, Pedro, and Troy Tulowitzki. You could make the argument, I think, and not just statistically, just watching him, that he was one of the best players in the game when healthy, or still could be. And then you have Carlos Gonzalez up there, who's very, very good as well. But they're going nowhere, it seems like, it feels like. Am I wrong on that with those two?
You know, they're kind of my under-the-wire. Not that they're going to win the NL West, but I think they're going to be surprising and be competitive. I kind of have a good feeling for the Rockies in terms of being able to win more than they lose.
Really?
Which would be a huge step forward for them. Yeah, and you know, big reasons, and you know I'm a big believer in starting pitching. Jorge De La Rosa is one of only 12 pitchers to have won at least 30 games the last 2 years. And I don't think he's a name that comes off, you know, to the top of your mind when you think of guys like Max Scherzer and Adam Wainwright, Clayton Kershaw, and the guys who are in that group of having won 30 games over the last two seasons. But De La Rosa is in there. You've got Kyle Kendrick, who is a very, very solid, dependable starter. You've got Ulysses Chacin, who is in his free agent year. I saw him last week when I was at Rockies camp. He's probably lost about 20 pounds of, I'll be kind and say baby fat, and hey, I've got it myself, but he's lost some baby fat.
It happens.
And he's very motivated to have a big year because he is a free agent at the end of this season, and I would be surprised if he doesn't. And you add, you know, they've got some nice pieces. Arenado at third base is arguably one of the best defensive third basemen in the game right now, who can give you some pop at the plate as well. Tulowitzki, very healthy, and I agree with you, one of the most dynamic players of the last 5, 7, 8 years. Carlos Gonzalez has done it, not consistently because of injuries. Justin Morneau, still a very, very solid bat at first base. So they've got some pieces that, like I said, they're my under-the-wire team to kind of surprise this year. And remember last year, Brad, I did pick the Royals.
You did pick the Royals. You're a smart man. That's why you do what you do. And the flip of that is, if on July 1st you and I are talking and the Rockies are out of it, everybody's going to be all over them. That, I mean, you talk about
True.
Some talent that's just sitting there.
Yeah.
Over on the Hometown Heroes, so Josh Colemanter is named your opening day starter. I happen to like Josh Colemanter a great deal. However,
anybody that's met him, I think, says the same thing.
Yeah, but he's not an opening day starter for a team that is going to contend. He is a number 3. Am I being right here? Am I being kind?
Yeah, somewhere in there. He's a, you know, 3, 4, 5, somewhere in there.
Yeah. So what did you make out of that announcement by Chip Hale? It's pretty early to say this is our guy, but that's the way they're going to go.
Well, I think it's also a reward for Josh Colemanter because he has been the most dependable pitcher that they've had the last couple of years. And so you're basically rewarding him as well. And it's also a sign of where the starting pitching is. And, you know, I've talked to you till I'm blue in the face about this, but you win or lose based on starting pitching. And when you look at the Diamondbacks, you've got Colemanter 1, you've got Pauly Helixson in game 2, and then you've got 14 or more guys vying for spots 3, 4, and 5. And that, while it may sound great on the surface, hey, there's 14 guys who could be, that's not usually a good sign. So I would say that starting pitching is going to, again, be an issue for the hometown team. And I do think they're going to play much harder because I think Chip Hale is a very, very good hire. And I you know, you just wonder, what does he have to work with when it comes to starting pitching, and that could be an issue.
Well, okay, let's just break this down then. They can't trade Trevor Cahill's contract. Nobody's going to take that contract. So he's got to be here unless somebody just is out of their minds, or the Diamondbacks throw a top prospect and say, take my prospect, but you got to take Cahill to get him out of here. Otherwise, he's going to be in this rotation, Pedro. I have to believe that.
Unless they decide to just eat it.
Eat it? You think they might? You think they might?
Well, don't forget Russ Ortiz.
Yeah.
Russ Ortiz had 3 years remaining on his contract, and Ken Kendrick said, forget it. Just pay him and get rid of him. So it's not unheard of for the Diamondbacks to go down that road. You know, it's a brand-new administration. You've got Tony La Russa. You've got Dave Stewart. You've got Deshaun Watson. You've got Chip Hale. I mean, they're brand-new top to bottom when it comes to the front office. And You know, it's usually when you're making that kind of an overhaul, you're not getting a clean slate to work with.
Yeah.
So the new administration does have some issues that they have to work through. And I would say just look at history, and it's not unprecedented for Ken Kendrick to say, screw it. We'll just pocket, you know, we'll eat. It's a write-off. Don't worry about it. Let's just put the best 25 guys on the roster that we can. So Trevor Cahill's going to have to pitch this spring in order to make the club. I don't think it's a guarantee just because he's owed $13-plus million that he will be on the club.
Okay, Archie Bradley, does he make it, or is this still wait and see? Do you get a feeling that they're ready to use him in the rotation?
I think Archie Bradley would have to have a spectacular spring to make the opening day rotation.
Okay.
Not to say he can't. I think the name to watch out for is the kid Blair. He's the one that right now I think is opening more eyes than anybody else, and he might be the guy that is in the opening day the opening week rotation that maybe fans are going to have to get used to that name. I know he's going to have to take his lumps from time to time because all young pitchers do. Don't forget Tom Glavine lost 17 games the first year that he was a starter and thought he was the worst pitcher in baseball, and then went on to win 24 years in a row right after that. So, you know, it takes time for a pitcher to learn the major leagues. I don't care how good you are. The Dwight Goodens aren't falling off, you know, the apple tree and just landing. Those are the rare exceptions. So, but Blair is the name I've heard that could very well be the surprise kid out of camp.
As always, I appreciate your time and your insight. Safe travels to SC. Thanks.
All right, Brad.
There's Pedro Gomez for a couple of minutes. ESPN baseball analyst insider. While we were doing the interview, and I don't like breaking course on interviews, so I'm just not going to do that. It came out that the Cardinals are going to get a visit from LeGarrette Blount. LeGarrette Blount, of course, started in Pittsburgh, was a train wreck there, went to New England, was terrific for the Patriots. And if you're looking for the running back.
Yeah, he tweeted out, Brad, Arizona, here I come, !! Let's go. So,
wow. Does that mean he's signed?
I mean, I don't. That's the thing. Is he coming for a visit? Is he out here on vacation? I mean, it could be a number of things. But
yeah, but it's Twitter, so everybody says. But it's LeGarrette Blount. Is
right.
It? Is it the LeGarrette Blount, or is it?
It is the LeGarrette Blount.
Fake LeGarrette Blount.
Nope. He is certified with 98,000 followers, so it's certainly him.
That's good stuff. On the other side, we'll have Talk to the Lopes and much, much more as we continue on a busy free agent day, first day of free agency. Of course, the Suns last night were a train wreck. We will be in Vegas the next 3 days doing the show from the MGM Grand around the Pac-12 basketball tournament. Plenty of content on our site, sports360az.com. We're Arizona-centric, things that we see around the state of Arizona. We also have a national flavor, too. Our guests, Peter King and Pedro Gomez, among others. I'm Brad Sismat.